Who's the boss is the question of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau today. We'll hear from a lawyer who took this to court last night. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Republicans in general, and the president in particular, don't like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau set up after the last financial crisis. The president has said the CFPB is a failed agency which hurts consumers by hurting financial companies. Supporters point out it's the only federal agency solely focused on keeping banks, credit card companies, and other financial firms from hurting consumers. And this morning, it's not clear who really is in charge over there. President Trump put in his Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney as the boss, but the outgoing director had appointed a deputy as interim boss, and she took this to federal court last night. Her lawyer, Deepak Gupta, joins us. Thanks for connecting here.
Thanks for having me.
Help me understand this. The Office of Legal Counsel at the CFPB looked at this, and the quote is, "I advise all bureau personnel to act consistently with the understanding that Director Mulvaney is the acting director of the CFPB." Is that counsel just wrong?
Yes. And I think the law is quite clear on this. The Dodd-Frank Act, the law that created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, says that the deputy director takes over when the director of the bureau is absent or unavailable. And the administration's argument relies on a background law called the Federal Vacancies Reform Act. But the problem with that argument is that the Dodd-Frank Act speaks very specifically to this situation, and it was enacted later.
Right, but I'm not fully clear what the fight is about. Now, the Republican-led U.S. Senate confirms the permanent head of the CFPB, and so none of this is for long, is it? What is pushing you toward fighting over something that could just be for a little while?
The minute you start having someone, even if it's for a temporary period of time, and we don't know how long that period could be, it could be indefinite, have someone who is in the White House and also running the agency, they can do quite a lot of damage to the independence and the mission of the Bureau. But it also is a situation that could really meaningfully affect American consumers and the important progress that the Bureau has made for consumers in the time since it's been set up.
Any sense when you'll hear back from the courts on this?
Well, we filed not just a legal complaint, but also a request for an emergency temporary restraining order. And so it's my experience that the courts hear those cases very quickly. The Justice Department has already assigned lawyers to the case, and we've been in touch with them.
Yeah, Mr. Gupta, I get that you're not actually over at the CFPB building at the moment, nor are you the security guard in front checking IDs as new directors come and go. But how far is your team willing to push this? Are you going to lie down in front of the tanks here, metaphorically speaking?
No, I think this is why we have courts, and we don't have to resolve differences with a confrontation. We can do it through fleshing out the legal arguments and allowing a judge to decide. And, I'm confident that the process will play out in a reasonable way. And, you know, we think we have the better end of the argument, but there are legal arguments on the other side, and that's why we have courts.
All right. Deepak Gupta representing Acting Director Leandra English to figure out who's running interim the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Mr. Gupta, thank you.
Thank you.
What's called Giving Tuesdays tomorrow. Last year, charities took in $168 million. Giving was up 44% from a year earlier. But the tax overhaul that's in Congress could alter that trend. Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
Giving Tuesday brings in millions of dollars to charities each year. Donors get a warm glow and a tax deduction, at least those who itemize deductions on their tax returns. The GOP's tax proposals would double the standard deduction, so fewer people would itemize. Fewer would see any tax benefit in giving. Nobody knows how all this will work out, but charity workers are worried.
Folks are putting out the message that tax law could change, so pile on now.
David Thompson works with the National Council of Nonprofits. The group estimates giving could shrink by $13 to $20 billion a year. Per Lagny heads the charitable giving website Greater Nonprofits. She wants legislators to nix the proposed changes.
Because these incentives were set up for a reason. Nonprofits have been shouldering the burden of providing a safety net.
And some charities hope donors will keep giving, whether they get a tax deduction or not. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
Since the presidential election, the S&P 500 stock index is up about 21%. The president suggests the media don't report this, but I think we do. And there are other Trump bumps on other markets, perhaps. Real estate? Ralph McLaughlin is chief economist at Trulia, the digital house and apartment shopping firm. Thanks for coming in.
Very happy to be here, David.
So we've reported every which way on the so-called Trump bump on the stock market, equities. Do you see a bump during this administration for house and apartment prices?
The short answer is no.
No.
The slightly longer answer is a little bit when it comes to new construction.
New construction. In which direction? Up.
Up. And that's actually a good thing of all things that might see a bump because we are in an era of low inventory and what we need is new homes.
That's interesting because often there's a split between is this good for the person who's purchasing? Is this good for the renter versus the person who has the property? But in this case, if you're saying if prices are higher, it might encourage more stock to be constructed.
Exactly. And because we've seen a softening in prices and rents, there are some that actually benefit from that, primarily renters trying to save up for a down payment to buy their first home.
But that's what you've seen, some softening.
Yes. In a majority of counties, both prices and rents are actually less under Trump's first year than the average under Obama's final four.
Again, if you're a person who is in the market, that's not terrible news.
It's not terrible news, but it's not necessarily indicative of a Trump bump in housing.
Now, you've actually looked at this. It'd be interesting to know why, but you've looked at red versus blue. You actually have some data on what are the housing market dynamics in places that were a little more Donald Trump or a little more Hillary Clinton. Did it yield anything interesting?
No. You know, we were actually expecting possibly a bump in red counties. So we ran a survey last year before the election and immediately after the election. And we found that Republicans who were quite pessimistic before the election became very optimistic. And Democrats who were pessimistic or optimistic before the election became pessimistic. But when it comes to the data, we don't really see any difference across political lines in U.S. counties. In other words, most counties, whether they were Republican or Democrat, have performed, you know, roughly the same.
Yeah. So you didn't, because of your renewed optimism or your embittered pessimism, didn't run out and change what you were going to do anyway in terms of your houses?
Absolutely not. It does seem that maybe this sentiment could have been short-lived. We'll find out when we run this survey again in a couple weeks.
Ralph McLaughlin is chief economist at Trulia. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And who is the most powerful single financial policy official in the country, if not the world? Arguably, it's the chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve. The person tapped by the administration to take over that position is due on Capitol Hill tomorrow for confirmation hearings. Jerome Powell, who is currently on the board, could be a shoe-in. On interest rates, Powell is said to be very in line with the views of outgoing Chair Janet Yellen. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.